Okay. Hey, guys. So I'm Matt, and this is my bride of 26 years, Sonia.
Yeah.
Glad to be up here. So Susan stole my intro lines. I don't even know where to start now. So yes, this is a teaching money. This is patented by me, so nobody can use those words in any other term. So yeah. So we are going to weave part of our testimony into our teachings today. And so as our topic shows is tonight, you lead, I follow. And so this is one of these scenarios where we might see some elbows flying back and forth between spouses. I'm going to talk through with the men just some areas of leadership. And so I'm just going to talk through areas of completion. And we're not up here today because we absolutely have this nailed down pat, right? Watermark has some amazing guys that are leading their families well and wives that are completing them. We're up here today because we were doing this so poorly. And it caused such conflict in our marriage and just resentment and anger. Almost killed us in about year 7. We'll talk about that. We're up here because we've just gained a lot of ground. And so we're just going to share some ideas with you tonight and kind of tell part of our story. So this is a picture of Sonia and I 27 years ago, pre-marriage, engaged. That was our engagement picture. And so we're in there going, we've got this, right? I mean, we're going to kill this marriage. This is going to be amazing. People are going to write books about us, you know, year 3 of our marriage. And that was not the case. As you probably have heard before, you know, couples get up there and all of a sudden the Jerry Maguire thought of you complete me really isn't true. And the thought of, she's telling me to hurry, signed up for the ideal, I got an ordeal, so now I want a new deal, right? That's kind of where we were. So next slide.
Okay, so the second picture we'd like to show you is what was actually real and true in our marriage, probably in the first decade. This tug of war that was going on pretty much was in many, if not all, areas. Early on, it was our schedule and how we were going to spend our time on the weekends, how much social time we were going to have, how much downtime do we need, where are we going to travel. And as we added kids to our family, it became a lot about how are we going to parent these kids.
So let's jump into it. Okay, so for the guys, all right, you're going to hate me after this, but let's talk through three leadership styles that we often see with men. And the first one's going to be the guy that is living out Ephesians 5:25. He is living sacrificially for his wife. He's loving her as Christ loved the church. He has cast a vision for his family, and he's leading in the areas of life where his family flourishes and is fulfilled. Then there's the my way or the highway kind of leadership. Hey, this is how we're going to do it. And get on board. Come on, let's go. Too bad, you don't have a voice in this. And then the third style really was kind of reflects me, and that is the passive style. Along for the ride, well, I was looking just to keep Sonia happy and saying yes to her for everything, and I did not have a vision that was cast for my family. So guys, I would say regardless of your style of leadership, I'm convinced that one day we will be in front of the Lord, and he's going to ask you, how have you done loving this daughter of mine that I've given to you, right? We will be accountable for our leadership, regardless of our style. So, as I said, my default style of leadership certainly fell into the area of being passive. More so in the past than today, but something I have to keep a check on. Looking back over the past 26 years, there should be no surprise that Sonia and I were in this leadership tug of war. I was leading Sonia just like I saw my role models lead with their work, paycheck, and career. I had no plan cast forward as far as parenting, how to handle money, and any kind of spiritual development in my life at all. And so this pie chart is going to show the areas where I needed to lead, all kind of the rounded areas, okay? Parenting, career, fun, intimacy, our spiritual life, and money. The reality for me is I was leading in these areas. I was knocking it out of the park and having fun and a career, right? But I neglected the 65% part of the entire picture of my leadership. I was playing to my strengths and ignoring my weaknesses.
Okay, so just this little background on this story. We've taught this for years, made some major edits this time, updates. But this used to be called passive husbands and controlling wives. And over the years, we've kind of got to the point of saying, hey, these words passive and controlling are really tough labels to shake, right? Once he's labeled as passive and I'm labeled as controlling, often those things will come out in the heat of conflict, and to wound each other. It's also like a set of glasses that we wear. And if I view him as a passive husband, anything that he does, I'm going to say, oh, well, yeah, that's because he is. And same for me. If I just have input in a decision, well, of course, you're trying to be controlling. So we've kind of rewritten this and saying, hey, you know, God's role is for the husbands to lead and the wives to follow. But we have a voice. God never intended for that my way or the highway type of leadership. So anyway, just wanted to point out that at times we can all be controlling and at times we can all be passive. And sometimes in some areas we're one and others in the other where we're more confident. But truth be told, if we're all being honest, we could all raise our hands and say, I really do think my ideas are best, right? I really do think I have the best solution to fill in the blank, whatever the problem is, whatever the scenario is. So just tell you a little bit of story about us. During our first decade of marriage, I was the woman who tried to compete with her husband. Even though my mom had done a beautiful job modeling being a godly wife to my stepdad, there were just a lot of things that I didn't pick up just watching her that I had to learn, or perhaps I was just so stubborn I needed to learn them for myself. So Matt is quick, he's witty, and he is fantastic telling stories. These were the things, some of the things of which I fell for, the reasons I married him. And as you guys probably know, on the other side of marriage, some of the things that are so attractive on the dating side really are the things that tend to get under your skin on the marriage side. So just some examples when getting him to sit down for a budget discussion was difficult. I could tell emotional conversations, very difficult for him, and it just began to drive me crazy. So as the year wore on, the stakes got higher because we kept adding kids to our family, and it just I just was struggling. I struggled to respect my husband. It was difficult for me to encourage him because my standards of what a godly marriage and what a godly family looked like were not being met. Other than being a fun guy, the only other area that I saw that he was doing well was the career. He's always been a successful businessman. But with him not feeling encouraged and my expectations of what our marriage was supposed to look like not being met, we hit a breaking point, as Matt mentioned, around the 7-year mark. I was unfaithful in our marriage. I believed a lie that there was something better out there for me. But after we survived what I would call the carnage of adultery, we decided we both were committed to the marriage and something had to change. We wanted to live differently. So we hear the phrase around re-engage a lot, draw the circle around yourself and work on everything inside the circle. Have you ever wondered what the biblical support is for that saying? Matthew 7, 1 through 5, just verse 5 says, take the plank out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to help remove the speck from your brother's eye. So if you guys can just imagine that you're going in for eye surgery and you're laying on the table and the doctor comes in, he walks in the door, opens the door, but instead of your doctor with a white coat, he's got this enormous plank coming out of his eye, a log, and he's coming to do surgery on you. Who of us would stay in that room? Right, I'm sorry, I've got to go somewhere, I have to go to the bathroom. We get out of that situation because it's so glaring. So it's the same thing in our marriage and in our relationships. When we're going after something in our spouse that we don't like without first doing eye surgery. And I would love to just say that it doesn't mean that we never approach our spouse about their sin. Matt and I have grown so much in this. Love does that. It says, then we will see clearly. There we do have a role, but we just don't go to our spouse until we first processed our part with the Lord.
My turn.
Yeah.
All right, so if you guys see Sonia touching my legs, she's not trying to be intimate with me on stage. She's telling me, shut up. You're way off script. So, okay, so let's talk about leadership, guys. And so this is a massive topic. And what I would say off script that with me learning to lead was like trying to cut a piece of wood with a handsaw. Okay, it's very intentional at first when you make a cut, but as things as you get a groove going, it gets easier and easier and easier. But it starts with being extremely intentional. So I'd say one of the biggest areas we can begin to take some leadership growth in our marriage would be around a real simple word, and that is initiate. Okay? I'd say for most of us guys, we're hardwired to want to win. And if we're not good at something, we want to ignore that and focus on our strengths. Okay? Let me tell jokes. Let's have a conversation, but don't make me sit down and look at numbers because I hate that stuff. I'd play to my strengths and I would ignore my weaknesses. So in what areas did I take ground in beginning to lead the family? And the first area is around spiritual leadership. So my amazing bride has been studying the Bible since the day she could read, okay? I believe the lie that in order for me to lead her anyway spiritually, that I had to know more than she did. I had to speak the Greek translation of the Old Testament or the Hebrew version. There's no way that I could know more throughout our marriage and the things that she did than she does. She was just looking for me to initiate in simple things. Number one's prayer. Just initiate and praying with her at night. And I'll tell you, for so many men, it's hard to humble yourselves and just pray with your wife. Some of those godly men I know will say, yeah, that is hard. She wanted to hear from me kind of what I was learning through podcast or maybe Re-Engage. Where was I growing in that play area? Or just studying God's word versus having these amazing conversations where she would just look at me and go, you are so amazing in all that you know. The second area for me was finances, okay? She loves spreadsheets and she loves pie charts and numbers and tracking money. And I really just want to know, are we saving money? Are we giving money? Are we doing okay financially? But I have to initiate with her in at least a quarterly discussion to say, hey, can we sit down and look at the finances? Because she's put a lot of work into getting that money ready, those numbers ready, and just studying those with her showed a lot of care and concern, also got us on the same page with our money. And then the third area for me was parenting. So parenting is not a very divisive topic, is it? Right? It's definitely a privilege and a blessing, but it's also an area of conflict and frustration, whether you have adult children, teenage children, or toddlers. So for me, in the early days of our kids' lives, I would just wing it, right? I would parent the way that I felt at that moment. And I'd show up and I'd call an audible, whatever, and I would change the play on Sonia that she'd been working all night long. And end of the day, she was frustrated with me. I was frustrated. And kind of the visual with that would be that I was a quarterback playing for the Dallas Cowboys, and I never showed up for practice, never took a snap, never read a playbook, right? But I go out in the field, and I start calling audibles at the line of scrimmage, right? And there's the defense, picture three kids, looking to sack the quarterback, and they tore me up, right? So exasperated kids, a very frustrated wife. And so I do initiate and finally to say, I need some help as a dad, right? And so through some parenting classes and bringing some other amazing older dads around me just to help me and coach me up. And then Sonia and I got on the same page, not always, but on the same page and the big things moving forward, and it made a huge difference for us. So you didn't touch my leg. Am I doing okay? All right, guys, so a couple questions for you. In what areas have you taken your ball and gone home? Where are you not trying, right? Because it's too difficult or I'm just not good at that. And is getting you and your wife on the same parenting page an area we need to initiate and demonstrate leadership?
Okay, back to the ladies. So what is our role in marriage? The biblical idea of submission is I would call it a dirty word in our culture. For many women, it kind of makes the hair on the back of our neck kind of spike up. Very countercultural. But when you consider Ephesians 5:22, this is God's idea. So you cannot like me for saying it, but just reminding us of what he has said, and that is, wives, submit to your husband as unto the Lord. So when we submit to our husbands, we're submitting to God, unless they're asking us to sin. So just as this is kind of continuing to tell our story to show you the ways that we're growing, the ways that God is changing, continuing to change me. So even though my mom was a godly example, I needed help. I needed to understand my role, how God had designed me as a helpmate. Like, what did that word even mean? I knew it was a helper for my husband, but what did that practically look like? And I and just was important, and I think it's important for all the ladies in the room to hear, it doesn't mean that we're less than our husband. It doesn't mean that in God's eyes we're any less important. Just, we are the apple of his eye. He knit us together. He knows us intimately. But clearly we are different, right? Matt and I were different, and those became obvious once we lived under the same roof. So I don't know if this is a helpful analogy or not, but I read this somewhere, that men are more like clay pots, and they're durable, they're useful. You know, clay pots aren't the prettiest thing in the world, but they're actually very sturdy and have a lot of applications. But us as women, we're more like a teacup. And if you just always picture just the prettiest one, like the one we registered for, those of us old school that had fine china, we are more delicate physically. But by God's design, we have a special purpose, right? China is special, and so are we as women. And it's our differences that make marriage such a beautiful picture of God, you know, completing, being a picture to the world. So God never intended for us to compete as wives, that his design was that we would complete our husbands. So years and years of Bible study, I guess, stubborn. It took a lot of time for me to really understand who God made me to be as Matt's wife, and a lot of time with mentors, older, wiser women. And what I learned and what I continue to remind myself of is that it is God's has put Matt in authority in our home, that ultimately he answers to God for himself. He answers for how he led me and how he is leading and shepherding our children. And I'm commanded to respect his role as my husband. And hearing it that way, like it's a command, and if I'm going to be obedient to God, I will. It made it real simple for me. So now, just even in the last 2 weeks, some of the things the Lord is showing me is that I can have a really critical spirit, and I can be, I'm very proud. Pride's always kind of been my biggest sin struggle, and self-righteousness was one that I really hadn't seen clearly before. So now, instead of looking for Matt's failures, I am actively looking for his strengths. Instead of going on a sin hunt in his life, I'm going on a grace hunt, and I want to affirm every evidence of grace that I see in him and our kids.
I like grace hunts a lot better than sin hunts, I'll tell you that. I'm going to land the plane with one more way we can initiate, and that is how we initiate in conflict, okay? I don't mean create conflict, but how we lead in times of conflict, right? There's no such thing as a conflict-free marriage, right? I mean, Sonia and I were two different states, two different families, two different genders. I mean, we're going to have conflict, and we have had to have conflict before, especially when our desires and our expectations aren't met. I mean, James 4:1 says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires within you, right? That's something, a verse we study all the time in our family. And so there's two common ways that we see that where I would try to handle conflict, and either it would be win at all cost, right? I become the prosecutor. And there are some times where I'm convinced that if there were a jury of my peers, they would find this woman guilty and sentence her to death all day long, right? I'm just rolling. Of course, I'm winning the battle and I'm losing the war, as the saying goes here. But the other way is to withdraw and sweep it under the rug, all right? And so don't confuse this with the negative communication patterns you're going to study and reengage, the WENE acronym. Withdrawal and escalation, I was an escalator, okay? But I was also a master at sweeping our conflict under the rug. So a good example of this would be, for some reason, we'd love to get into a conflict when we have conflict at about 10:30 at night, okay? She's on a sin hunt, I feel like, and I'm on a, hey, but I do 90% of the things great, and you're on my 10%? You kidding me? Right? But 10:30 at night, we blow up. We realize we just simply cannot resolve this tonight. Let's go to bed. Of course, you sleep wonderfully when you're mad at each other, right? Just lay there peacefully. And so what I realized after a while is my role the next day, when we've calmed down a little bit, we've had a chance to pray. I can go 1 Peter 3:7, and as husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. It's my job to initiate the discussion, extend grace, seek forgiveness for my part, but to pursue her in that area. She might have started it, let's say, but it's my role to make sure that we at least talk through it, whether that's the next morning for us or after work, okay? Where my tendencies in the past would have been, okay, we've stabilized a little bit, let's keep sweeping it, let's just get back to normal and not follow through with the forgiveness on both sides. So it's my role to do that as a leader in the family. So,
you're wrapping us up.
Sorry?
You're wrapping us up.
I'm wrapping us up. Yeah. So, yeah, we have any more? Mm-hmm. One more area here. So, guys, the idea of marriage is that we are each other's sandpaper. Okay? When we're being sanded, it doesn't feel good, right? But at the end, we're a fine, smooth piece of God's image, right? And so, 26 years in a great marriage. If your husband, if you really loves your wife, you will pressure wash her name into the stained fence in your backyard. But yeah. So thanks for letting us throw a lot of stuff at you guys tonight, and have a good night.